Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So I've been teaching on the topic, becoming fruitful in all things. Praise the Lord. And we've taken time to look at what it means to be fruitful. And we have also taken the time to look at the diverse types of fruitfulness. We looked at what it means to be fruitful in diverse ways. Amen. Now, we want to look at the laws of fruitfulness. The laws of fruitfulness. Praise God. The law of what? I can't hear you. The law of what? The law of fruitfulness. What is a law? A law is the governing principle of a thing. What is a law? It is the governing principle over a thing. Praise God. That means that a law is what determines what determines the output based on the input of a thing. Praise God. That means that if I were to pick if I was to pick up this pen and I was to lift up the pen and drop it, the pen will fall, right? It means that there is a law governing this. How many of you know what that law is? It's the law of gravity. Is that okay? It's the law of gravity. If I pick up this pen in Gombe and I drop it, it falls, right? If I go to UK and I drop the pen, is it going to fall? Why? Because it's what? It's a law. A law is the governing principle over a thing. It is what determines the output based on the input. So whenever you make an input into something, are you hearing what I'm saying? A law comes into effect. Is that all right? A law comes into effect. And when that law comes into effect, because of the law that governs that thing, the law actually takes over that input that you have made and determines what? The outcome. So in other words, if I want an outcome, what I need to know is the law that governs that outcome. Is that all right? Are we together? What I need to know is what? The law that governs what? The outcome. If I know the law that governs the outcome of a thing, if I want a specific outcome, what I need to do is to what? Is to engage that law. If I engage that law, I'm going to get the outcome that I desire. Are we together, church? So a law is the governing principle over a particular thing. So in other words, a law determines the conduct and the output of an input. Laws determine, praise God, they determine cause and effect. What happens? Amen? So we have the law of gravity. Is that okay? It's a law. Is that right? We have the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law, right? We have the law of motion. It's a law, right? We have the law of aerodynamics. It's a law. Amen? All this is a law. Amen. And within laws, there are higher laws than other laws. That means that everything, the law, the gravity is a law. Is that okay? That an object, is that okay? When is an object will always fall to the ground. But there's a law of aerodynamics that can cancel that law. Is that okay? So when you see an aircraft flying, are you understanding what I'm saying? Have you seen a heavy aircraft flying take off? Seeing the Boeing 747 take off. Are you getting me? There's a law at work. There's a law at work. And once you put in that law can cancel a law that is lower. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So everything that is happening in your life, the meaning of it is that there is a law that you are working with. The Bible says to us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. from the law of sin and death. Which means that there's a law called the law of sin and death. Where is that law? Romans tells us about that law, that the wages of sin is death. So which means that when I was an unbeliever and I operated under the law of sin, I hope you know that when you are an unbeliever, you don't sin. Praise God. How many of you know that when you are not a believer, you're not born again, you don't sin? You don't sin. Why should you be sinning? You are a sinner. You are sin itself. Are you getting me? A charcoal doesn't get black. Have you seen charcoal before? Trying to become black. It's only believers that sin. You didn't get that. Only believers commit sin. If you are an unbeliever, you cannot commit sin because you are sin itself. Praise God. Are we understanding that? So the Bible says that there is a law that is greater than the law of sin. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means that when I move from the law of sin and death, and I enter into the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, something happens. I come into a greater law. So the Bible says, because I have come into the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I have been set free from the law of sin and death. That means that my end, I will not end in death. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That means that whatever is happening in my life must end in life. It must become productive. Something, are you hearing what I'm saying? So that is why Paul will say to us in Romans chapter 11, that if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead be in your mortal body, it will quicken your mortal body. It will bring it to life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the effect. That is the effect of that law. That is the working of that law. It's a law. And you have to understand it. It is upon the strength of this law, are you hearing me, that you must walk in healing. Your body must be healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the law of the spirit of life, and that law is found where? In Christ Jesus. So when a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there's a law that comes into effect in your life. And it's important that you understand that there's a law that comes into effect. Because you can, are you hearing what I'm saying? You can come into a law, but you are living as if you are not under that law. Praise God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. When I came to Gombe newly, came in from Maiduguri, we're not used to having light this much as happens in Gombe. I don't know how many of you can tell the truth and shame the devil that you had a shocker the first time you came to Gombe. We didn't have light like this. So I remember the first week we came to town. What, we were just ironing all of our clothes, charging our phone. Ha! Then after 3 days, they didn't take the lights that much. Then, you know, if you wanted to do anything, you know, once we'll be watching TV, like, they may take light anytime. Then we watch TV until we got tired of it. Then eventually we just discovered we were operating under a different law. We are in a new law, but we were acting as if we're in the... Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? I said, are you getting what I'm saying to you? If you understand this, you will behave differently. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, if you understand this, you will behave differently. It will affect the way you live your life. It will affect the way you have relationship. It will affect the way you do business. Because you know that nothing dies around me. Because you know that nothing dies around me. Because you know that I'm no more limited. The name of the law is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means, sir, it continuously produces life. Continuously producing life. That is why Jesus will say to you, I have come that ye might have life. And they might have it what? Abundantly. It's a law. It's a law. Amen. Praise God. So it's important that you understand, laws do not respect land or space. It doesn't. If something is a law, wherever you go, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Laws do not respect where you are coming from, whether you are black or you're white. Law does not respect it. If you apply the law, you will get the results. Praise God. Are we together? Yes. Yes. It's the reason why some believers always have a problem when they see unbelievers prospering more than some believers are prospering. The problem is not salvation. The problem is which law are you engaging? Hallelujah. The problem is what? Which law? Now, you will notice something when you read your Bible. That every time God is talking about a law in Scripture, God does not say, if a Christian. He begins by saying, if a man. Which means that law is not religious. Amen. So Scripture will say something like, except a man be born again. So it doesn't matter whether, are you understanding what I'm saying? Then Jesus will say something like, the kingdom of God can be compared to a man who found treasure. What Jesus is telling you is that if a Buddhist finds that law and puts the law into practice, it will bring out results. If a believer finds the law, you know, and what we do is that we exchange salvation. We believe that once we are just born again, things should just be working. Are you hearing me? Please get this right. Your salvation is first and foremost an access into something. It's an access for you to begin to have, I mean, it's an access for you, it's an opening for you to have access to certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, there are people, anybody who does not receive Jesus does not have that access, but you have that access. First and foremost, it's an access into the divine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's an access into the divine. So listen, many people are saved and they assume that upon the strength of their salvation, certain laws should work for them just because they are born again. It's just like saying because you are born into a rich man's house, you should be rich. Is that correct? I say, is that correct? You are cold for me today. Did they export my members and bring some other people to come and join the service? Am I correct? Hallelujah. If your father is rich, does that make you automatically rich? Many people who are born again, they behave like that. They take their father's, they take their father's car and drive around like it is their own. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your father has money. You don't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor Mao, the way you are behaving is like you are claiming your father's wealth. Your father has worked hard. You haven't worked yet. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when my children come to me, you know, and begin to ask for some things, you know, recently they came to me. They said they wanted a puppy. I said, fine, no problem. I said, you bring 10,000, you bring this, I'll fill up the rest. Look at the way Biscuit is laughing. You are an unbeliever. The way you are behaving, the way you are laughing. Praise God. Amen. There are certain things they have a right to. They have a right to shelter. They have a right to education. They have a right to food. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's all the right they have. Every other thing is my own. The TV belongs to me. They don't have a right to watch the TV except I say so. I didn't buy the TV for them. I bought it for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Very soon, these children, let me even talk to you about children a little bit. Very soon, these guys are going to leave that house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They can't wait to leave. As you are seeing them like that, they can't wait to leave. You'll be calling them and telling them, are you coming for Christmas? They'll say, I will get back to you. How do I know? Because I'm doing it. Hallelujah. So, everything that is in the house is mine. Let them go and look for their own. If I have pity on them, I will help. Because I'm a righteous man. So, a righteous man leaves an inheritance. But it's not by force. Tell your neighbor, your father's money. is not your own. Some of you girls, somebody is toasting you. You are looking at him like, what do you have? You, in the equation, because I know you're thinking, you are looking at your father's money and you think that because your father's money means you are rich. You better marry this poor boy, oh, because in the equation, you are the poorest. Your father has money, the boy has some money, you don't have anything. Better. You are the one, you are the poorest in the equation. Oh, you think you have some. You don't. You better accept. Since your father cannot marry you, just marry this one. I just helped somebody this morning. You better carry. Your father has car. This one, he has bike. You don't have cake. You don't even have bicycle. You better, and you can't marry the one that has car. You better marry the one that has bike. And you should try and buy car together. Amen. But I'm talking about the law of productivity. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The law of productivity. Laws are predictable because they are consistent. Hallelujah. They are predictable. That means that if something is a law, I don't have to be worried, in quotes, because I know that it will bring out predictable outcomes. Once that law is engaged, there will be a specific outcome that will come out of it. Are we together? Yes. There will be a specific outcome that is going to come out of it. Amen. In the Bible, there are spiritual laws. Or let me say, in life, there are spiritual laws and there are natural laws. There are spiritual laws and there are natural laws. Praise God. Do you know that? There are spiritual laws and there are natural laws. And so, the laws of in spiritual laws, there are laws of God and there are laws of darkness. There's a guy called K.G. Hamilton. I met him many years ago. He used to be a band member of Fela. He used to be Fela's band member. I met him many years ago. This guy wanted to do music. That's what he wanted to do. And so his father wouldn't allow him, you know, he wanted to do music. His father would not allow him to do music, ran away from home. And the father made a mistake. When the father was trying to correct him, he was a Muslim, and the father was an imam. And the father said to him, which music? You want to go and become like Fela? The moment the father said Fela, the guy wasn't thinking of Fela. The moment the father said Fela, the father was the one that gave the boy the idea. So the guy left school at the age of 16, ran and went to Fela's band. Became a member of Fela's band. But the guy couldn't really sing, couldn't really play any instrument and all of that. Many of you don't know that Fela was a highly demonic person. Many people don't know. They just think that the guy was just doing music. He's like a highly demonic person. When they told you that he is whatever is a shrine, it's actually a shrine. Where they call Calcutta Republic, it was actually a shrine. So this guy, Fela had a library. And in that library, he had some demonic books. One of them, I have read one of the books before. I used to read. I had a funny teacher that taught us literature. And the teacher said to us, read everything. And I started reading anything I could find. And there's this particular book, which I won't want to name, that taught people about astral traveling. You know, many of the things we do, we don't know the implication. They teach you yoga. They tell you to be saying something. Meditation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This guy didn't know how to do anything. Then he learned astral traveling. That is how your soul now, or your spirit, leaves your body and goes into a particular realm. Before you try it, I want you to know that many have left like that. They just took off on that flight and never returned. So before you think that is a joke and you try it, Let me not say some things to you. So, this guy left his body. And demonic entities came and met him and taught him how to play instruments. So the instrument, I wish I could tell you something. The instrument he learned, no human being taught him. He learned instrument. It was demons that taught him to play the guitar. It was demons that taught him. It's a law. And I'm going to show you. It's a law. The law that you engage determines the outcomes in your life. Determines the outcomes in your life. So there are spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws that come from God. There are spiritual laws that come from darkness. In the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou might observe to do all that is written thereby, so that thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success." But look at the first statement. It says, this book of what? This book of the law. So the Bible is full of what? Laws. The Bible is full of laws. There's law about your health. And when I say law, I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the laws of God, the ways of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are laws about your health. There are laws about your whatever it is. There are laws of ministry. There are laws, you know, of utterance. There are laws of every law. The Bible is full of them. So God said, this book of the law shall not depart from them. That means that God gave you the Bible so that you can learn what? Laws. It's a book of laws. The law you engage determines the result that you get. Amen. And so, when we begin to look at scripture, John chapter 15, I'd like us to read from verse 1 to 7. John 15, verse 1 to 7. I want to introduce the first law to us today, under the law of productivity or the law of fruitfulness. If you're going to become fruitful, I want to show you the first law of fruitfulness. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Yes. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Yes. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Next verse, media, let's move. Abide in me. Tell your neighbor, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch, please look at it. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. As the branch cannot. It doesn't say it may not. It says the branch cannot what? Cannot bear fruit by itself. So he says, how do you bear fruit? Abide in me. It is the law of the vital connection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the law of what? Vital connection. It's the law of abiding in him. If you're going to bear fruit as a believer, you must stay connected to the branch. Abide in me, I am in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except. Now, you have two very strong statements. Cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Listen to me. Everybody that is bearing fruit is connected to something. Hallelujah. Everybody and every that is bearing fruit is connected to something. Amen. Is connected to something. Is connected to something. Nobody is bearing fruit of himself. Everyone that is bearing fruit is connected to something. Jesus said, except you remain in the vine, except you remain,
You cannot.
Except you abide, you cannot. Listen to me. I'm going to show you something today. Let me finish reading to verse 7. Let's go. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Pastor Miller, it was when I was reading this, I saw the difference in church people. I am the vine, here are the branches. That means that vine has what? Many branches, right? Then he says, he that abided, which means that some you can have many branches, but not all the branches are abiding. Have you ever seen a tree before that has many branches? And then one of the branches is withering. Have you seen that before? And you're wondering, why is it withering? Then maybe you cut it off. Then you discover that within it, either termites or something has already eaten it from inside. It is no more connected to the vine. So it is withering and is dying, not because it is no more a branch, but because it is no more connected. Look at what it says. He that abided in me and I in him, the same. That means that there can be many people, but not everybody brings forth fruit. Not everybody brings forth fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Next verse, let's read to verse 7. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are what? They use them for firewood. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now listen to me. There is a process by which you bring forth fruit as a believer. Is that okay? And that process is called abiding in him. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to have fellowship with him. Please listen to me. Listen to me carefully. It means to have a consistent, continuous. The word used as abide is the word meno. It is the word that means to dwell, to continue in something. That is why Psalm 91 will say to you, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Somebody said, the Bible didn't say he that visits. I want you to hear me very well. Many believers are not fruitful because their place of fellowship with God is broken. Okay, let me use an example. When I was pastoring in Maiduguri, I used to have a member. They were trusting God for fruit of the womb. They got married 3 years, no children. The guy was working on an oil field, on a rig, in an oil field in South South. And the guy comes home like maybe twice a year. And you just come to a day or two. So I and the woman will come to me in church as the associate pastor. She will come to me. I will pray with her. We'll declare fasting and prayer. We'll be praying. One day, when it didn't pass my power, I went to the senior pastor. I said, sir, we've been praying with this woman. She's trusting God for the fruit of the womb, and the fruit of the womb has not come. Don't know what to do. The first thing my pastor asked me, why is her husband? I said, sir, he's working Port Harcourt. He comes like once or twice in a year. My pastor said, come. I came. He said to me, tell the husband to come and spend long break. So, one of these days, you know, I got to talk with the husband on phone, and I said to him, I said, sir, when are you coming back? He said, he's looking at so time. I said, how long would you be spending? He said, he's not sure, a day or two, depending on the break. I said, sir, can you plan when you are coming? It will be like 2 weeks. He said, okay. Then he came and spent 2 weeks. I'm telling you. By the time of life, the next year, I was dedicating a baby. There was no demon involved in the matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What was needed was a vital connection, Pastor Mao. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. The disconnect that is in your life between you and God is costing you destiny. It's costing you fruitfulness. Except you remain in the vine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Except you remain in the vine. So I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you very well. It looks very simple, but I'm telling you it is the key secret of your life. You know this thing they say, they call prayer. Are you hearing me? This thing they call worship. Are you hearing me? This thing they call fasting. Are you hearing me? These things that we do as basic things that we use in maintaining our fellowship with God is one of the greatest secrets of your Christian life. Show me a person that has backslidden in his walk with God. I will show you a person who disconnected. The disconnection began from fellowship. Let me tell you something. Oh, let me tell you something. You know, sometimes people, maybe you are in fellowship, you are in church, somebody then begins to withdraw from fellowship, somebody begins to leave church, somebody, forget about all of that. Go to their personal prayer life. Go to their personal Bible study. Are you hearing me? Because let me tell you something. It is easy to be offended when you are not connected. No, you are not getting what I'm saying. Listen to me. When you are spending time with God, when you are hearing God, when God is speaking to you and you are talking to God, are you hearing me? Listen to me. Some offenses, before they will even happen in your life, you will see it. And listen to me. Some offenses will come, but because of the indwelling power of the Spirit of God in your life, it will have no effect on you. It's not everything you will be offended by. Listen to me. At your place of what you call morning devotion, the Holy Spirit will minister your day to you. You will go out. When things are happening, you will just laugh because you saw it coming before it showed up. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? It begins, the secret of your life begins in the disciplines of fellowship that you have with Him. The more you are far away from Him, are you hearing me? The more the vital connections of your life are weak. The more, listen to me, Satan has access into your life. If God is not talking to you, something will be talking to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God is not giving you counsel, something will be giving you counsel. You will be living your life upon the strength of something. Nobody lives his life just like that. Life abhors vacuum. Something is going to come into your life to take the place where God used to be. Many people have lost the vital connection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he said, except you remain in the vine. And I'm going to show you something. I'm not just talking about your daily Christian walk. I'm not just talking about your daily Christian walk. Once you lose fellowship, listen to me. Many people who derailed, are you hearing me? It didn't start with the person that offended them. Mm-mm. It started with a disconnection in their personal place of walk with God. That's where it started. You begin to lose counsel. You begin to lose frequency. You begin to lose connection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Psalm 84, verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 5. You see, Psalm 84, verse 5. Do we have it there? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them. Look at it. Next verse, verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Verse 7. What happens to them? They go from where? From strength to strength. Where are they getting the strength? Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Which means this man, sir, is drawing strength from somebody. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. There is a place to draw strength. Come on, church. There's a place to draw encouragement. There's a place to draw wisdom. There's a place to draw direction. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? Many people are without, listen to me. I bless God for all the people who counsel you. Bless God for all the people who you meet and all of that. But listen to me. Your greatest counsel is in God. Your greatest direction is in God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. The Bible says, how it happens to them? They go from what? From strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. From one breakthrough to another breakthrough. From one open door to another open door. From, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because their strength is in God, sir. There are doors that men cannot give you. There are ideas that men cannot give to you. You must understand where to get the vital connection. Listen to me. And I need you to understand this. Because once you understand this, you deliver yourself from the strings of men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that you can understand, sir, that a man can disappoint you, but he will never disappoint you. Even when what he tells you looks like a disappointment, is actually an increase waiting for you somewhere. I will show you some things in scripture. And when we talk about these disciplines that maintain your fellowship with God, we talk about prayer. We are not saying that every time you go to pray, you are the one talking to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many years ago, four years ago, I came to pray when this building, this Sunday school building, was under construction. I just went out one day to pray. I just came to pray one morning. I've been trying to write. I wrote my first book in 2003 or so. When I wrote two books. I really didn't like the way they came out. They were okay, but there was something I was looking for in God, and I didn't find it. So I came to pray. I bought a laptop. Everything I was talking about, I'm going to write. For 5 months, I didn't write introduction. I was carrying the laptop everywhere. Bought a brand new laptop, sir, so that I will write. 5 months, I was carrying laptop, moving around. I didn't write anything. So one day, and I came to pray. I picked my laptop as usual. I came to pray. And as I walked into the place to pray, the Holy Spirit said to me, sit down, I want to talk to you. So I sat down. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me for 45 minutes. In my life, I've had a couple of encounters. That was one of the most important encounters I ever had. That was one of the most important encounters I ever had in my life. This is what I want to talk to you. I sat down there. And for 45 minutes, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. The first thing was that he talked to me about how I have been living my life. And he talked to me about how that it was important that I prioritize my life. When you see me come out and I begin to tell you scriptures like all things are good, but not all things are profitable. This is where the scriptures God was talking to me about, sat me down and talked to me. Then the Lord said to me, when a man is behind time, if you enter a class and notice that everybody in the class is better than you, what do you do? You do extra lesson. The Lord said to me, you must do extra lesson if you will catch up with what I have for you in destiny. Because you have lost time in certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was on the strength of that. One of the things he spoke to me was on that writing. The other thing he spoke to me was about Trinity Academy. The other thing. Now, that encounter changed many things about my life as a person. In one meeting, are you hearing what I'm saying? Many things about my life changed. How I pastored changed. Whatever I was doing changed from that one meeting. I woke up from that meeting. I was trying to write. I couldn't write. I will leave town for 13 weeks. I will leave town. 4 days I was out of town. 3 days I was in town. 4 days I was out of town. 3 days I was in town. I use public transport so much that the people know me. I became popular in the place. I was out for 13 weeks consistently, non-stop. Out of that 13 weeks, I brought out three books. What I could not do in 4 months, I could not do. In fact, for many years, I could not do. Out of that meeting, Trinity was birthed. How to raise the funding for it was birthed. Are you hearing me? Just going to the place of prayer, waiting upon the Lord. And the Lord said, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Out of it came that thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Out of that meeting actually came out the Conference of Light. Because when I went to where I was writing and just praying, one day I just came out. I was just praying. Then I heard it clearly. They that are in darkness have seen a great light. As we were speaking, I went back to my room. I picked up scripture. I began to read. As I began to read, I saw not east in that place. I said, this is what God is saying. From one encounter, I'm praying for you that you're going to have one encounter with the Lord. I'm praying for you that you're going to have one encounter with the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, Mama, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar called them. He said, look, I had a dream. I'm not going to tell you the dream. Go and find out what was the dream I had and tell me the meaning of the dream. Daniel said, give us 3 days. The Bible says Daniel called his friends. They went to the place of prayer. They said, oh God, you that reveals the secrets of the heart of men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. This is how you become fruitful in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, this is how you become what? This is how you become fruitful in God. Prayer, worship time, studying the word is not just to make you a good Christian. It is the opportunity God uses to speak to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He can speak to you about your family. He can speak to you about your business. He can speak to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many times we know these things, but we don't know how do we take them and actually transform them into the various areas of issues in our lives. And so because we just do it as a religion, we wake up in the morning, we have 15 minutes of reading Bible, we sing one old song like that, and then we use the opportunity to report ourselves to God and we stand up and leave. And we do not know that actually that is the vital connection you need for the next season of destiny in your life. Listen to me. You don't need to go to a babalawo to tell you the future. You can know the future if you sit with God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? I said, is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? If you check, there are many Christians. Really, would you hear a Christian? Listen, I was talking to somebody recently. You hear a Christian saying, I'm feeling tired. I want to go on vacation. Hardly will you hear a Christian saying, I want to go on retreat. When was the last time you went on retreat? Not holiday, retreat. You picked your Bible. You picked a journal. You picked a book. And you picked 2 clothes. And you decided to go somewhere and sit down and let God talk to you. Listen to me. You are missing something that has the power to change your destiny. All the things you are looking for, all the connection you are looking for, the most important connection you are looking for is a time to sit with God and let God speak to you. Listen to me. Let me tell you this. God created you. He knows you. Because some people are saying, how do I know when God talks to me? If God wants to tell you something, He knows how to tell you. If God wants to talk to you, He knows what to do to talk to you, and you will know God talked to you. Well, the way God will talk to me may not be the way God will talk to somebody else. Somebody who has been 30 years, 40 years in the Lord is a different way God will talk to him than somebody who has been 5 years in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I say, are you hearing what I'm saying? You go to God. Let me tell you, it was Reverend Kamu that shared it here with us. Reverend Shamu shared here with us. He told us. He said when he came back from service, he was praying. And that he went to the Lord. He said, what is he going to do with his life? Many people don't have direction because they don't have time with God. He said he went to God. He said, what is he going to do with his life? And that he was praying. He declared 7 days of prayer and fasting. He was fasting. 7 days finished. God didn't say anything to him. He said, fine. He has done his part. He stood up. He said he was washing pots so that he can cook and break his fast. He said, suddenly, he just fell under the anointing, you know, in that place. He had broken the fast. He had eaten something. Fell, went down. And he said he had a vision. In the vision, he saw school. He saw children. So he asked God, he saw them in uniform. He asked God, what's this? God told him, you're going to do a school and you're going to have students. Then he had another vision. In the same moment, he had another vision. He said he saw himself, he was standing just like the way shepherds count sheep. So he said, sheep were passing. And whenever a goat came, the goat will not go under the rod. He asked God, what is this? And God told him, you are going to start a church. You have a church. And in your church, you are only going to have sheep. You will not have goats. Many times I've gone to him. I'm getting counsel from him. Then he will laugh. He say, you know, I can't advise you on some of these things. Because God told me I will not have goats. I will only have sheep. So You're not understanding. He said, God told me I'm not going to have goats. It's only sheep I'm having. It's only sheep I'm going to have. You know, somebody said, hey, he has gone into doing school. He has lost the vision of God. He said, you don't know what God told me. He said, you don't know what God told me. You know, Baba Akamu has like 10 schools. It's not this one that you are seeing, it's just, he has like 10 schools. He has at least 5 schools that give free education. He told me recently. He said that the total number of students in the schools that he has, school in Yobe, he has in Bauchi, he has in Jos, he has somewhere else, you know. He said the number of schools, they give free education. He said that the students only pay, is it 200 or something? Naira? He told me. He said the total number of students in those schools is about 800. That he runs the school. It's not this one that you are seeing. He told me, I saw it. Listen to me. Don't waste your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't waste your life. Make the vital connection. Without me, you can do nothing. When they say prayer, when they say Bible, it's not religion. It's a time that you spend time with God. And God, are you hearing what I'm saying? You spend time with God. Many years ago, let me tell you this. Many years ago, Pastor Chris was coming to Bauchi. He had a meeting in Bauchi. And that day church was young, maybe a year or two. And he was coming to Bauchi. We had a vigil that night. And we finished the vigil around 4 or 5. And we went to bed. Around 6, I heard as if my phone rang. Have you noticed that when you are sleeping sometimes, something will happen. It happened like 10 minutes ago, but your brain is just... So I stood up and I saw a missed call from him. So I called him back. He called me like 30 minutes ago. I called him back. I said, sir, I just saw your missed call. He said, yeah, I'm coming towards your region. I have a meeting in Bauchi. I just thought I should tell you. I dropped the phone. I understood what he was saying. I called him back. I said, sir, where are you now? He said, I'm approaching Jos. You know, he said, I don't worry you. I said, no, sir, I'm coming. There was a brother that had the vigil, which had a car. I just walked up to the brother. I said, can you borrow me your car? He said, yes. I said, I'll bring it back tomorrow. He said, no problem. He gave me his car. I put on my clothes around 6:30. I took off. I called Pastor Chris. I was entering Bauchi. I called him. I said, where are you? He said, I'm approaching just now. Let's meet in Zaranda. We met in Zaranda. From there, we went straight for the morning session of the meeting. We had the morning session. I know Pastor Chris, there's nothing like morning session. It's day session. So we had that session. Came back in around 2 o'clock or so. Then, in the evening, we went, tried to catch some rest between 2, 4, or 5. Went back for the evening session. We finished around 10, 11. Then we went back to his hotel. Then we were talking with him. We were talking in his room. Till around 1:30. Then his wife came out and said, Pastor Michelle, go to your room. Go and sleep. She just dragged him like that and went in. The next day was Sunday. I was going to be speaking. She said, Pastor Michelle, go to your room. So I stood up. I left. As I was going, I just remembered. This was when I was going, I remembered. I told church members that we're starting a series every evening for 3 Sundays. I was going to be teaching on prayer. We have done flyer. It was 1 a.m. on the day. And I had Sunday morning service. I had Sunday evening service. I went to my room. I said, Holy Spirit, what will I do? I was tired. I was going to drive. And in fact, I was on the bed like that. I just sat on the bed. You know the way you put a pillow behind you. You're not fully lying down. Just put a pillow behind you. I was lying down. I took off. I went to sleep. And I was sleeping. Somebody walked into the room and tapped me. I opened my eyes. That is what is called an open vision or a trance. I opened my eyes. I knew I was having an experience. I knew I was having what you would call an out-of-body experience. The lights in the room were still on. So the bed was like this. The person tapped me. I stood up. Then I sat well on the bed. Then there was a board. The person came, wrote the topic of the message, wrote the scriptures, taught me the message. Then the person said, that's what you're going to teach. The person stood up, was going to leave. I didn't see the person's face, but I saw everything. I can't tell. I can't tell you a face, but I knew there was a person, he wrote and everything. He was leaving. Then I said to him, I didn't take notes. As we are teaching, I didn't take notes. I said, how will I remember this message that you just taught me? He said to me, when you get there, start off with this song. You will remember the message. I came back. Many of you will remember we did a series of prayer meetings, teachings of prayer for 3 weeks. Every Sunday we were doing it, and I will teach for 2 hours, 3 hours I'll teach on prayer. Those teachings are the teachings that became praying, understanding the scripture. What was the name of the, Understanding and Praying the Scriptures and Principles of Effective Prayer. Those two books was what I was taught that night. One man met me. Somebody, I met one dangerous man. He told me something. He said to me, one minister, I know the minister. He was not happy with what the minister did. This minister came up and met me and said to me that he had a dream that I was going to die. That minister is a younger minister. This minister is a very elderly minister. So this minister came and met me and told me that I was going to die. And he said, I'm not going to tell you something, but he said to me, I'm not the one that will die. He said, it's a social person that will die. And the person he said, social person, is this social person that will die. The person actually died 3 days later. Then he said to me, you know what? He said, I cannot die like that. He said, because God has already shown me my death. He said, he has already shown me how I will die. He said, that is not how I'm going to die. I already know how my death will be. Acts chapter 13. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Let me show you something and then we round up. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Yes. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. As they ministered to the Lord. You know what it means? They were in worship. The Bible says they ministered to the Lord. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. Which means that these guys, it was not, listen to me. There are two types of communion you have with God. Two types of communion. Or let me put it three. Listen, this is what it is. One is the communion you have because there is an issue in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you come to the Lord in prayer. You sit with his word, or you come fasting. You come to the Lord. That is number one. Number two is when you come and you are interceding on the behalf of somebody. So somebody is going through something, so you come in to stand in. And when you are doing that, you are taking over the burdens of those people and you are standing in. But listen to me. I believe that this is the most effective form of ministry you will do to the Lord. And that is when you come to minister to him. That is that you come before the Lord, you are not asking for anything. You come before the Lord, you are not even praying for someone. You come before the Lord to just tell God how much you love him. You come to the Lord to just bless him. Listen to me. I believe it is the most powerful form of ministry you can do. So scripture will say to us that let us therefore come before him. The Bible, let us offer the sacrifices of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. So listen to me. This is the kind of sacrifice you come to do. Listen to me. When you do that, God enters into your own situation. The Bible says, while they were ministering to the Lord in fasting, that is that they were not asking for anything. They were not saying, I need this, I need that breakthrough. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in asking the Lord what you need. But I'm showing you a higher law. They just came to bless God. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came into the meeting. I hope you know that when Paul and Silas were in the prison, they were not praying, Lord, deliver us. The Bible says, what did they do? They prayed. The Bible says, they sang. Are you hearing me? A man that is sad, that is preparing to die, does not sing. The Bible says they sang. In their singing, the Bible says there was an earthquake. That means that there is a law that if I delight myself in the Lord, he will grant unto me the desires of my heart. That if I will delight, the word delight means to rejoice in God, to just be joyful in Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One time we were listening. Let me show you this. One time we were prospecting for a particular property, and we have been talking with the family for about 2 years. In fact, we were renting that land because they said they were not ready to sell. So I said, okay, we will rent it so that when you are ready, because I knew they had to sell because of the location of the land, I knew the family had to sell. So I said, all right, we will rent the land so that on the day that you are ready to sell, we will have the first option. So we're renting. For 2 years, we were paying rent on the land. Then we came and heard that somebody, because the land belonged to their father, the father had died, and now it was the whole family that was managing. So it was his first son that we were dealing with. Somebody went to the husband of the sister of the daughter and gave the husband money. So the husband now had entered into an agreement to sell that property. He was not a married husband, you know, and all of that. So I didn't know what to do. I was just thinking. I was going to the office that day. On my way to the office, the Holy Spirit just ministered to me. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It's only the Holy Spirit that can tell you what you need to do for Him to have what you are looking for. The Holy Spirit said, go and thank God on this matter. So I got to the office. I opened my toilet. I locked myself in the toilet. And this was the revelation. Thank God as if you already got it. Say, how will you thank God if this land, because land was causing trouble. Say, how will you, because we contacted a lawyer, or the lawyer told us, he said, look, don't worry. The local government chairman is my friend. Just go get me. He said, we will sort out this from local government. They will just hear. They will just hear that. He said, no, he said, well, it's not going to be. Said, just, this is what we're going to do. He told me, just bring me the documents of the land. I went to prayer. I went into my toilet. I locked the toilet. I was praising God. Somebody said, praise God until you got it. I went into, I was jumping. I was shouting. See, I had not finished. Somebody sent me the girl's number. So I picked up my phone and I called the lady. And I called the lady. The lady said, Daddy, how are you? I said, she said, Daddy, how are you? I said, how are you? I said, I am still as I am by now. I worship in church now. She said, I worship in church. She said, I come to church, I worship in church. I said, okay. I said, I'm having a little challenge. I don't know how we're going. She said, what is it? I said, okay, this is the issue. We've been doing this and doing this. And she said, Daddy, I'm not aware of it. She said, please, sir, I am sending you. She said, the documents are with me. She said, I'm sending you the documents right now. She said, we will negotiate later. I'm sending you the documents right now. Let me tell you something. I came out of that bathroom. And I was about to send somebody. Then something said to me, if you do that, you're going to cause family problem. The husband, are you hearing me? The husband, on the strength of that, I withdrew. I just said, let's just leave it. I let it be. Because she told me, just send somebody, sir. Let him come and collect the documents and give you. We will talk about the price later. Something just said, no, just leave it. Because if you do that, the husband has already collected money. He has already eaten the money. You understand what I'm saying? And she doesn't even know about it. Somebody said, if you do that, you create family problem. Just leave the matter. That was how I left the matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You go to God. Listen. Esther and the Jews, they faced an existential threat. The plans have been completed. They were going to kill all the Jews in a particular day. Esther told them, she said, look, she said, I want you both to declare 3 days of prayer and fasting for me. Are you hearing me? She said, 3 days of prayer. Just take 3 days to pray. Listen to me. You're going through something. The answer is not in talking to people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The answer is, no, see, listen to me. There are issues of life. Nobody has the answer. All this one, are you hearing what I'm saying? She said, declare 3 days of prayer and fasting. The Bible says, after 3 days of prayer and fasting, she went before the king. Now, I want you to notice something. Every time Esther wanted to have the banquet, something will happen. They will postpone the banquet. Every time Esther wanted to have the banquet, something will happen. They postponed the banquet 3 times. Listen to me. Until the very right time for the banquet to take place showed up. Listen to me. God knows how. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I tell you, God knows how to intervene in the situation. I want you to understand this principle. I want you to understand this principle. Delight yourself in the Lord. Learn it. See, listen to me. Don't wake up in the morning and go out on business. No. When you wake up in the morning, don't pick up your phone. When you wake up in the morning, go down upon your knees and worship God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go down and worship. Spend time. Listen to me. Adjust the clock of your life. You can't be going to 8. To work 8 o'clock and you wake up 7:45. No, you are not. See, you are not getting it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You wake up. You don't have anything. You wake up 2 hours to time. You wake up 3 hours to time. You spend time worshiping God. Listen to me. You talk to God about issues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yesterday I was telling Pastor Ma something. You know, I had speaking engagements and all of that. You know, Pastor Ma was driving me to the meetings. And I said to Pastor Ma, I said, look, sometimes there are things that have happened to me recently. I mean, I can't even tell people. Many times it is when I sat down in the meeting that I got the message for the meeting. That when I sat, I will get to the meeting and I'm blank. And whenever I am blank like that, before I used to worry. I will worry, oh God, you have not given me message. I'm going for this meeting, I don't have a message. Now I understand it. I don't have a message, the devil is in trouble. It means whatever God wants to do, he doesn't want your thought pattern to corrupt it. I just spend time in worship. I just worship and pray in the spirit. I will get to that meeting. It can even come from a joke. It may even be a joke that I will make. From that joke, something will break through in that meeting. Listen to me. Don't play with that vital connection that you have. Are you hearing me? It is the source through ideas come. I don't want to take too much of your time. When God said, I give you power to prosper. Listen to me. The power to prosper is that God is giving you ideas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I close with this. I would have told you the story of Jacob. Tell you some things, but let's just leave it. I used to do business when I was in school. When I was in university, I was doing business. All to printing business, all of that. There was a time I needed money. And most of the time, God will speak to me during praise worship. When worship is going on, the heavens will just be opened over me. One day I went to church. Worship was going on, just worshiping God. Then something told me, pick up your and begin to write. I picked up my daughter. He said, go meet this woman. Tell her you need a business. This and that. And I've never asked her for anything. I just went to the woman. I said, I just met her. I said, I'm trusting God for a business. You know, I want to do a business. I have some needs and all of that. The woman said, you came at the right time. You know, every time you go to people, they say you came late. If the Holy Spirit sends you, you will come at the right time. She told me something. She said, She said, you came at the right time. She said, the governor's wife is having a meeting of all the wives of governors from so-so-so states. And they've just told me to bring out the magazine for that business. You know, you're just coming at the right time. Sir, that was the first time I met the governor. I did the last draft of the printout. As I was taking it to the woman to go and check, the governor was just coming down from his car. The woman just said, give me cacao, cacao, cacao. I just gave her. She said, come. I was going with her. The governor was walking, you know, with all this entourage. She just showed the governor because when they were doing it for the governor's wife, the governor decided to take over the program. He now decided to invite his friends, invite other people. So as the governor was just walking into his house like that, she just told me, cacao, cacao, I just gave her. She just showed the governor. The governor just saw the face of the flyer. The governor just brought out his red pen. He just wrote on it, approved, released the funds for this, and just gave her and walked into his house. It was in praise worship. The Holy Spirit said to me, go meet this lady, tell her that you need a business. You will be, listen to me, you will be, an idea will just come to you. And that idea, are you hearing what I'm saying? An idea will just come to you, and it's God that is giving you direction on a particular thing. I'd like us to start to pray. Just pray for a minute.
Open my eyes to see your face. Open my heart to know you more. Open my eyes to see your face. Open my heart to know you more. I want to relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more until I am like you.
I want you to pray a prayer tonight. Some of us have left, we call it different things. Some of us have left our altars. Some of us have left the time we spent with the Lord. Some of us, and it is a strategy of the enemy to take you out on the vital supplies that you need for your destiny. Some people have been people to spend, they spend time in prayer and all of that. Now a lot of activity, a lot of things have come into your life. You are not praying, you're not spending time in the Word, and the enemy is doing it so that he can disconnect you from the vital supplies that you need for your destiny. I want you to open your mouth right now. You're going to renew your vows before the Lord. You're going to renew the matters of spending time with God, spending time in the presence of the Lord, spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time in worship. You're going to renew it. You're going to renew it. You're going to ask the Lord for grace again. Some people need to repent and say, Lord, I repent. You know, you've left that vital, it's a vital connection. That is where your strength comes from. That is where your wisdom comes from. That is where grace is released for you. That is where you're going to pray. You're going to pray and say, Lord, tonight I renew, I come before you once again. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. Something happened to me many years ago. I went to the Lord. It was like the church was not growing. So I went to the Lord in prayer. We were stuck at 200 or something like that. So I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, what's happening? We've been here for a long time. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, your present prayer life cannot sustain the growth that you're looking for. Cannot bring the growth that you're looking for. I then understood that in reality, what I'm looking for is tied to my prayer life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One day, we needed money for something in church. I called the cabinet in. I called for a cabinet meeting. Then I went to prayer. Then the Lord gave me the steps of how the money was going to come. We went for the cabinet meeting, and I just told the cabinet member, I said, this is what we are going through. What do we do? The Holy Spirit told me this. He said, but don't share it. So I closed it. I went with my book to the place. As they were speaking, everything the Holy Spirit told me, and by the order, they just spoke about it. I said, I knew this was God. Listen, that is the connection that your life needs. People are good, books are good, mentors are good, but the connection your life needs is that God needs to speak into your heart. Are you hearing me? Every other system will fail. Every other idea will fail. But what God tells you will stand. Every other thing, are you hearing me? Every other thing will need some variable. Said the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I want you to pray tonight. Say, Lord, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. I receive direction from you. I receive a word from you. I receive the next steps I need to take in life. I receive them from you. I receive them from you. I receive them. I receive them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I said, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We're going to be taking the communion this morning. As we take the communion this morning, we have come to the halfway through the year. Many of us need the next instruction for the next part of this year. Hallelujah. we take this communion, asking the Lord that our eyes be opened, that our ears be opened, and we say, speak, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless the bread and we bless the cup. We are intentional about you. We recognize that it is the Lord's body that we are taking. We ask, Lord, that every residue of uncleanness, of sin, everything that offends you in our lives, we ask that the blood will cleanse and speak on our behalf today. We repent in the name of Jesus. And we ask that the potency that resides in your body and is in your blood be activated into our lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we receive into our body the life of God. The Bible says that if we have the Son, then we have life. Even as we enter into this new month, we receive life into us. Thank you, Pastor. We return praise to you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.